Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the text. Last week, we talked about John the Baptist and his questions and what he asked and how he asked when he was in prison, and the things that happened in the world were hammering away at his faith. Christianity is amazing because our God is amazing. Not only because of the amazing things he does, but because he welcomes the questions. He does not turn us away. He meets us at the place where we are struggling. And so we come to Joseph, who is asked to believe that a child conceived has not been conceived in the normal way, that Mary has indeed been faithful, and the baby has been conceived by a miracle by the Holy Spirit. And what must have been going through his mind when he hears about Mary being pregnant? It's a blizzard of doubts, questions to go with them. For Joseph, it must have seemed fantastic, beyond belief, ridiculous. Besides the particulars of she conceived but was not unfaithful, there's also the basic idea of God coming into the world. And in Joseph's time and place, God coming into the world as a baby and born to a simple girl in Nazareth. This is part of what offends about Christianity. And those who do not want to believe it point to these things. And so Joseph does not recognize the hand of God in any of it. And he decides to send Mary away because it's ridiculous. And a group of atheists, one here set up a billboard showing a nativity scene. This was in New York at the entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel, showing the nativity scene with the words, "You know it's a myth." And we live in a world where we are surrounded by doubts. Looking at the doubts, first part of the pattern of doubt is to question if there is anything beyond what you can see and touch, and to write all of that off. And after you've written all of that off, then comes the other part of doubt, which becomes a desperate search for how do I put meaning back into my life. Interesting how that goes. The way it gets voiced to us as Christians is, first, doubts about the truth of the Bible, doubts about the birth of Jesus, doubts about the dying and rising of Jesus, and that it could be for us, and that salvation and forgiveness of sins is there in him. And also, doubts about whether it's all worth it. Is it worth it to believe? Is it worth it to set aside some of the pleasures of this life? Is it worth it to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning when there's a winter storm and we're not sure if the heat is even working? And is it worth it? So, we are assaulted by doubts. But Christianity is amazing. Our God is amazing because our God is familiar with human doubt. Let me tell you three names of Old Testament doubters: Abraham, Moses, Elijah. Abraham hearing the promise, but in his doubts he does not know whether that child that's promised is going to be born. Moses, who stands on the mountain of God in front of the burning bush and questions whether God is actually going to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt by his hand. And Elijah, who after having the truth of what he's preaching about God confirmed with fire from heaven, heads off running to the mountain of God and says to God, "I'm the only one left." God is familiar with doubts. He answers them. And an angel comes to Joseph in a dream. And the angel then, in a dream, for those who feel far away from God, so that God would never appear to me in the daylight hours. What's happening with my life? I have drifted far from God and he's removed himself from me. So an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and confirms the word to Mary, confirms the Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, confirms the naming of Jesus as Jesus. And Joseph and Mary will need that a whole lot later. And confirms why he's named Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And in that part of the message to Joseph, there's the preaching of the gospel. For Joseph to believe it, that this one is the one child promised to Abraham. In you and in your seed all nations will be blessed. He is the one promised to Eve, the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the devil. He is the one promised in the prophecy through Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which the name Emmanuel means God with us. But the heart of the message, he will save his people from their sins. One of those sins is doubt. Jesus comes into the world for our salvation. He's called Emmanuel because he's God with us, so that the disciples could reach out and touch him and know that they were in the presence of God. His name is Jesus because he saves his people from their sin. Because in this child we find the mercy of God. His birth into our world is the beginning of our birth into heaven. His holy life in this sinful world is the beginning of our eternal life. And it's there in the Word of God that is at the center. It's at the center of how God creates faith. So Joseph needs to hear. He needs to hear the message confirming all that was revealed to Mary. It's fascinating how God deals with these doubts, because when he has dealt with the doubts, Then he has disciples who have stood before God with their doubts and their questions, and then know that all of their doubts and their questions have been answered. And when you have done that and stood before God with your doubts and seen that he rises to the level, that he answers, and that his word is true, and his word continues on, his word is constant, his kingdom is constant, and his kingdom is coming. His promises are coming to be revealed, and his promises open up to eternal life. And the work of salvation, opening up into eternal life, is the work of salvation that goes on into all of eternity, so that we live with God for all time. And all of that is done for Joseph and Mary, to confirm the truth of God's revelation, to confirm that this child coming into the world is the Savior. So all of their doubts, all of their questions come together and find their answer in Jesus. They need this. They need this confirming witness so they can be ready for the things to come. So Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. And even though they have relatives there, Mary's been found with child. They're not received into the dwellings. Out there in the stable, that's where the Christ is born. And there is a measure of shaming going on there. Misplaced in this case, but Jesus is born in the stable, and Mary and Joseph, they begin the difficult walk. And then 40 days later, on up to Jerusalem, offer the sacrifice. Jesus' first appearance at the house of God. And a prophet named Simeon meets them. And one of the last things that Simeon says to them is, "A sword shall pierce your own soul." And after that prophecy in Jerusalem, then along come the wise men, gifts of gold and frankincense and a spice that's used for suffering, death, and burial. And once the wise men are gone, then the dream to flee, because Herod is searching for Jesus to kill him. So off to Egypt. Joseph and Mary needed that confirming word of God. And our God's amazing. Our God is marvelous in how he deals with us. And our challenges and our doubts and our questions as well. We are surrounded by a world of doubts, and a world determined to question, a world determined to push religion to the side, determined to question everything that God is doing. And people ask questions. So the first part of doubt is to write all kinds of things off. And then the second part is to struggle to find a meaning in life. And so along with the doubts, there is another side to this. It is what Jesus said. The fields are white for the harvest. Because there's a world out there full of doubt and questions and struggling to find meaning in life, and the world desperately needs witnesses who have stood before God with their doubts and know the truth of His Word. Know the faithfulness of God. The world does not need those who are unsure of God's revelation. There's enough of them. The world needs witnesses who are convinced. And this is not just for pastors, it's for all of us. Who have faced our doubts and turned to the Word of God and know the truth of His Word, and that His Word is constant and His kingdom is solid. Who in the middle of things that come and go and the turmoil of this life have found the one thing that lasts and endures, the solid foundation, the rock on which we can build our lives. Witnesses who have known what kind of a king this Jesus is. That He is not one who came to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And this kind of king, He is worth following. The world needs witnesses who are able to say, not only is He the Savior, not only is He the Lamb of God, not only is He the one crucified for me and risen from the dead for me, not only is He the one who rules all things and will judge every person, He is the only one who it makes sense that He should rule in my life. He is my Savior. He is my Lamb of God. He was born for me. Merry Christmas. Amen.